Today's message is called The Obedient Life. Glory to God. Might know a theme, notice a theme in all of our messages, you know. It's just that we aren't planning it this way. It's just God who keeps taking us this way. God is trying to instill in us some things and just get us solid in some things. You know, the most important thing, the most important life you can live is an obedient life. What a lot of people fail to recognize is that just because we say obedient, a lot of people don't like necessarily that word. You know, that's a word you use with kids. You know, you don't use that with grown adults. You don't use that with people who have been living life. But see, here's the truth of it. We're obedient to one thing or another, regardless of whether we want to be or not. We're either obedient to God or we're obedient to the devil. We're obedient to God's ways or we're obedient to man's ways. We might as well be obedient to the right way, because being obedient to God's way is the way of life. Amen. There's so much in the Bible on this, and I hope that I believe I got these by the Spirit. But the things that the Lord has for us today will help us surely to grow and to continue on into the plan of God. Amen. You know, being lost in life is never a fun thing. Being lost in life is something that I lived for quite a few years, and one of the reasons that I've learned to submit is because I learned what not submitting does. I've learned what not being obedient does. You know, the lack of obedience in my life to God caused so many awful things and so many paths, so to speak, that I didn't want to go down. And so it's not a bad thing. You know, a lot of people, you know, there's a lot of resistance to the things of God, especially today. There's a lot of resistance out there in the natural world. People, you know, people who want to come against us, people who want to talk against us, they want to, you know, kind of refute the way of religious people, so to speak. You know, it's because they don't understand it. But they believe that it's just about living according to a set of rules and regulations. But the thing is we, like I was saying before, we live according to rules and regulations anyways. I mean, all of life is about rules and regulations. Think about it. We have rules and regulations, like things like the law of gravity, right? That's a law. Praise the Lord. We're thankful for the law of gravity, but we submit to that law constantly. And if we didn't submit to it, we'd be in trouble, wouldn't we? You know, there was a time when I was in my lost years. I remember I was full of fear, and these fears would come on me in the form of some kind of anxiety or something like that. And it could be anxiety over anything. In fact, a lot of you may have lived that kind of life too, where you've dealt with anxieties and stuff like that. I used to have panic attacks on a regular basis. And if you've never had a panic attack, you're blessed, praise the Lord, because a panic attack is not fun. But one of the things that it does is it'll come on you often. It'll come on you quickly, and the name of it is very descriptive. It's just panic, you know. It comes on you, don't know what to do, and you just, for no reason, maybe all of a sudden you're in panic. You know that feeling of panic? Like if you have ever gotten in a car accident, that last second before you crash, if you've noticed it, there's panic that comes on you. Well, that will come on you. That can come on people sometimes even without something happening. And I remember one time I was actually out at my mother's house on their property. They had a big piece of property, and they had a pond way down back, and a big expanse of yard in between the two, and several acres worth. And I was walking down to the pond, and this was in the midst of this time period of my life. And I got about halfway out there. I got halfway out between the house and the pond, and all of a sudden, this thought came to me. And of course, I know where the thought came from, but the thought came to me: what would happen if you just started floating? I know it sounds funny, right? It's like, what happened if you just started? But the thought gripped me like with instantaneous fear, and this idea that there was nothing for me to grab onto. So now I had this thought. I was floating away, that I could be floating away from the earth. Now, in my rational mind, I knew it wouldn't that wouldn't be a real thing. But the fear of it was very real. So I was also thankful for the law of gravity. That's how I got on there. I don't know why I was talking about fear, you know. talking about the laws, that we succumb to the laws and stuff. But still, that fear of things, it's so often that fear that the devil uses against us is because of our lack of understanding of the truth of God. Yeah. Amen. And so we understand this. If we're obedient to the will of God, it's not about just being submissive and being like this slave or something like that. It's not like that at all. But being obedient to God is really what opens the doors for us to have so much freedom in life. You know, I don't have panic attacks anymore. I never get them anymore. And you know why I don't? Because I'm obedient to the plan of God. Amen? At least as much as I know how. And I'm not always perfect at it. You know, I even asked my wife on our way down here. I said, am I a hypocrite? You know, I put it before the Lord even just before that. I figured, well, he didn't answer me, so I asked my wife, see if she'll answer me. Glory to God. And so I said, am I a hypocrite? I want to know these things. I want to know if I'm being disobedient to the plan of God, if I'm being opposite of what I preach. And I wasn't saying that because I'm liking some kind of combination thinking I am. I'm just, you know, every once in a while, it's good to pose a question. Praise the Lord. And so are we obedient to what God has called us to do? Are we obedient to where God has called us to be? Amen. And these things is where all the blessing of God is found, is in an obedient life. So get out of your mind right now that obedience is a bad thing, that it's a restrictive thing. You know, like I said, you're going to be slave to one or you're going to be slave to the other. If you're slave to God, you can't be slave to the devil. But if you're not slave to God, you will be slave to the devil. I said, if you're not slave to God, you will be a slave to the devil. There is no ifs, ands, or buts. There is no in-between time. It is an instant transition. Obedience to God means disobedience to the devil. And disobedience to God means obedience to the devil. If you open yourself up to be obedient to the devil, you open yourself up to every single thing the devil has for you. Amen? As a born-again believer, well, I believe in Jesus. Glory to God. I believe in the gifts of the Spirit. Glory to God. I believe in authority. Glory to God. But if you are living in disobedience, you open yourself up to God. You open yourself up to the whims of the devil. That's as easy as it is. You can't stop it. You can't stop his attack. You can say, pray for me, Pastor. Guess what? Pastor cannot pray your disobedience. Glory to God. Cannot pray it away. I can't pray help into your life if you're disobedient. See, a lot of people, they just, like, now if you're somebody who is, like, you know, you're newer or you don't learn, you're not learned in certain things yet, you know, of course that there's grace from God and that God will allow a pastor or allow somebody else, another Christian, a believer, to pray for them and even be able to help them. But even in that help, it won't be as good as learning obedience themselves and learning how to flow with what God has for them. Amen? And so we have to have, we cannot be Christians. Like some churches, you know, will teach that it's basically will teach, they'll teach in their actions that it's okay to just come in, you be a Christian on Sunday, rest of the week, you go out and do your life, you do you and all that stuff and you'll be fine. There's a lot of places that teach along those lines. But you know what's interesting about all those people? They still don't live any different life than they did before they were a Christian. What I mean is it's no better. They still don't, they still have the attacks. They still have the attacks without, I'll say the attacks without victory. Amen? Because we'll all see attacks, but we have the victory. Praise the Lord. So let's turn to James 1:25. Glory to God. We're going to talk about the obedient life. I've never been dissatisfied. I have never been dissatisfied with God yet. It's amazing to me. One of the things I loved when I came into the family churches is I started learning about a God who was an active force. Wasn't just a God that was in heaven. Wasn't just this God that we prayed to and he might answer us in some obscure form. But I learned about a God who was real, who interacted with me, who wanted to invade my space, who wanted to be part of my life. And it just stirred me and excited me so much that was even possible. And as I've grown in the things of God, the thing I've learned, the things that I've continued to learn, is that is just all the more true, that God just wants to be part of our lives. Amen? And that he will manifest himself in his life, in our lives, and it won't be disappointing. Amen? Just to find James 1:25. Praise the Lord. It says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, excuse me, and continues in it. So right now, when you come to church, you're looking into the perfect law of liberty. How do I mean? Because we're preaching the word. Now, if I was preaching my own ideas, you wouldn't be looking into the perfect law of liberty. But because I'm giving you the word or what the word says, you're looking into what it says. You know, last night we read in Nehemiah 8, in the first 10 scriptures in Nehemiah. But one of the things that we saw is about how they were, the people in that time, how they were anxious and excited to get the word of God. And so they prepared the place so they could get the word of God. And then they went and they listened, amen. And then there was people that explained it and expounded on the word of God and taught them the things of God, amen. Praise the Lord. They were looking into the perfect law of liberty. But see, now here's a part, there's a big and there, and this and is so important for us to understand. It says, and continues in it. If we don't continue in what we've heard, in other words, if we're not obedient to the word that we've heard, then the blessing doesn't apply to us. The things that we hear in the word, the things that we see in the word, the freedom that we get out of the word, those things don't apply to us. So it says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Another way you can say that is this one will be blessed in all he does. Amen? I love that. You can be blessed in everything you do. And I dare say that we are blessed in everything we do. And we are blessed not because we're somebody so special, not because we've mastered anything at all, because I'm going to tell you, I have not mastered being a Christian. I know that's disappointing to some of you. I know that's surprising to most of you. But that's a joke. Praise the Lord. We can laugh in church. But I have not mastered being a Christian yet. But what I do is that my heart is to be obedient. My wife's heart is to be obedient. Many of you, your hearts are to be obedient. And even if they're not, there's something in you right now that's calling out to you saying, I just want to be obedient. I just want to be part of that. I want to be with God. I want to be effective with the way. See, God didn't make it hard. He didn't make it difficult. And we so often, we inflate the difficulty in our own mind because we make it something that it's not. He said, just listen to the word. Amen. Listen to the word. Continue in it. Stay on that course, praise the Lord, and don't be a forgetful hearer. In other words, when you hear something, make it important to you and don't just, put that aside. You know, I'm guilty of this all the time. All the time, I'll hear scripture quoted or something like that, and I'll be like, wow, that's really good. And then I'll flip back through my Bible to go look at it, because when I hear a scripture that stirs me, the first thing I always want to do is go back and see it. I want to read it. Why? Because I want to get into it. Amen. It's kind of like somebody saying, hey, something really cool is happening over here. That's when your heart's stirred, that's what the Spirit's saying to you. Say, hey, something cool is happening over here. You better come check it out. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, if somebody was going down through Mayville and saying, hey, there is something really awesome over here. You got to come see this. Even if they didn't tell you what, you go over to explore, right? But so often I'll go over to that scripture because I've never heard it before. You know, and I'll get before it. I'll flip open my Bible and I'll find it. I'm like, wait a minute, who highlighted that in my Bible? Well, who underlined that there? This Bible isn't even that old. I don't remember doing that. Praise the Lord. But see, that sometimes that's being a forgetful hearer. Now, we're all guilty of doing that, amen? But and that just proves to us that there's so much in here that is so wonderful, so so grand. You know, Dad Jones sent me a scripture this morning. Every once in a while he does that just to encourage me. He'll send me a scripture or whatever. And man, I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, this is like my new life's mantra. I mean, I looked at this, and I truly don't remember reading this one before. I mean, I have because I've read through, I've read through the book before, but, I just didn't remember it. But now it's speaking to me, amen. And I'm reading it. It's just like lighting up my life, you know, and I was like, this is my new life mantra. I love that about the scripture, see? But God's just, he's just bringing us, he's trying to stir us to get us to that place where we just desire more of him. Our God is so awesome. I love the fact that, you know what, no matter how much of a jackwagon I've been, God will always let me come back to him. He will always let me come back to him, praise the Lord. And then it gets stirred up again and to get into his plan. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And so God's goodness is just so far reaching. Praise the Lord. But be a doer of work. This one will be blessed in what he does, or like I said, all he does. It would not be wrong to say all he does, because God is not a limited God. He's a limitless God. Amen? Praise the Lord. I want to read this to you in the Amplified Version. It says, but he who looks into looks carefully into the faultless law, the law of liberty. So notice this. This book is called the Law. Amen? This is what, when the Bible refers to the law, it's referring to this. It's not necessarily referring to rules, although there's a lot of commandments in here, a lot of direction, do this, do that. And again, it's not bad. You know, I've never seen anybody get really offended at a GPS. You know what I mean? Like you put your GPS up on your window and you punch in the directions and it tells you to turn here and you don't like, but I don't want to turn there. I want to go the other direction. Well, you can go the other direction, but guess what's going to happen? You're going to go somewhere else. You're not going to get what you know, and that's what it is. Sometimes people come to hear the word and then they get offended about the direction, and then they get offended because they don't end up in the right place. It's like, well, if you just listened to the darn GPS, you would have got where you were supposed to go. Praise the Lord. I see Chantel and Tammy back here laughing. They must have some specific experience. Yeah, praise the Lord. I love it. But you know, that's why God has these, you know, all of a sudden these examples will come up, because you know what? They're going to remember it every single time. And you will too. Every time you get in the car and you turn on the GPS. Amen. Or when you're getting in the word, you'll think, well, I can't get foolish because I can't get foolish about that because I want to go where I want need to go. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so God is always trying to lead us to a good place. He's trying to lead us into that place of blessing. Into his goal is to get us to that place of being blessed. Right? Why otherwise would he have given us the word? And then tell us to continue in it. See, obedience, amen? Praise the Lord. And is faithful to it and perseveres in looking into it. I mean, I love the Amplified of this verse, because it just really expounds. It brings out all that essence and all those things. You know, it's like, you know, it's not, you know, sometimes we can even find it be frustrating when we're trying to find something, when we're trying to find an answer. And we get into the word and we're like, we can't get there. That's persevering in it. And what we have to understand is that's blessed what we're doing right there. When you're doing that, God is looking, when you think, and see, this will change that frustration if you just think right about it. If you just think right about this. But when you get in there, you're like, okay, I gotta get back to that. I gotta figure out what that means again. And you start searching the scriptures, or you start meditating on a scripture or whatever, or you start going back to re-listen to a message or asking pastor about what was that scripture that you used there or whatever. When you do all those things, God is looking down on you and he's grinning. He's looking down on you, said, yes, that's exactly what I've called you to do. That's exactly what I want you to do. See, there's no condemnation in God. There's no condemnation because you don't know. See, even though I got excited about that scripture, and then I go and I look it up and I found that I actually highlighted it before, God isn't looking down at me going, see, you should have remembered that, you loser. He's not saying that at all. He's looking at you saying, yes, he's stirring you up again. He's like, see, that scripture is there. It's waiting for you. It's been there between those pages the whole time, waiting to stir you. I put it there just for you, just for this time, so you would open your Bible and you would find it again, and then you got stirred on it again, and then I sent somebody else to you to quote that scripture, and you hear it again and go back to it. And God's getting excited because you're discovering the truth and the power in his word. You're discovering what God has for you. We don't serve a God who's powerless. We don't serve a God who's quiet. We serve a God who talks to us continually, a God who reaches for us no matter where we're at, no matter how far off we've gotten. God is still reaching out to us. And all we have to do, the only thing we have to do, is be obedient to go back and look and see where it was that we lost him. Because God, and in the Bible, the wonderful thing the Bible says is he's not too far from any of us. He's looking for all of us. He's following close behind all of us, even when we're off. He's not far. Even though we've gotten off far, he's not far. Now, sometimes the plan can be far, but that doesn't mean he's far. And you know what he's going to do? He will take you back to that plan if you'll go. He's waiting on you just to say, Lord, I recognize that I was off. Praise the Lord. See, when you do that, then you're redirected, recalculating, amen? And perseveres in looking into it. Being not a heedless listener who forgets, but an active doer who obeys. He shall be blessed in his doing, his life of obedience. Amen? Now, the level of your blessed life will correlate to the level of your obedience. If you're somewhat obedient, then you're going to see somewhat of a blessing in your life. But if you're as fully obedient as you possibly can, you'll see the fullness of God in your life. There is no doubt in that. I found it to be true. I think, God, why do you bless me with this? Like, I screwed up here, I screwed up here, I screwed up here. But you've been obedient to follow me. In other words, my heart's desire is always to follow him. And so God always brings us to that place where it works out. Amen? And the more effective we get at that, of course, the more we see that, the more effective we want to be at that. Amen? And so this is the compound blessing of the Lord. Amen? Part of the faith life is living free from condemnation. Conviction is good. Condemnation is not. Remember, God has not given us a spirit to condemn us. He has given us a spirit that will convict us. Conviction is good. Condemnation is not. Now, let me explain something to you. If you are living a life of sin, you will experience condemnation. That is not from God. That is not good. But you will experience it because you are living in sin. The only way to not experience condemnation is to not live in sin, or to repent from the sins that you've committed. Amen. And what I mean by this is, see, conviction will come on you. If you do something wrong, if you're a Christian, if you've been going to this church for any length of time and you've been somewhat serious, even, you know, like even just a little bit serious, praise the Lord, you will experience conviction on a regular basis. Yeah. Whether you're reading the word yourself, whether you're hearing it in the pulpit, you're going to hear something that convicts you. In other words, you're like, oh, that's not right. I've been doing that wrong. Now, see, the devil wants to take that conviction to condemnation. The only way he can do that is if you're not faithful. The way you're faithful is you sit there and recognize, okay, I was wrong. I'm sorry, Lord, for that. Okay, that's repenting, right? And then you turn from that way. You stop doing that. But if you don't turn, then you're going to experience condemnation. That is not because God is putting condemnation on you, because he will not. But God cannot stop you from condemnation if you live a life that's condemning. So in other words, if you're going to pursue that way of sin, and you're going to continue going down that path, God can't stop the condemnation. Even if you read in the scripture, you read, oh, there's therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, right? But it says those who are in Christ Jesus, to those who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So if you're following the Spirit, there will be no condemnation. And if it is, you just cast it off and it can't do anything to you. Amen? Conviction is good. Condemnation is not. It is good when your toes get stepped on in a service. It would be a bad church service if you went and you heard everything that you wanted to hear and walked away feeling like you were doing everything perfect. Because it is not what you do right that is going to help you. Now, I am not saying you should be condemned when you leave a service. If you are being condemned, you need to have a conversation with me and let's get to the bottom of why you're feeling condemned. Because there should be no condemnation. You shouldn't be under a weight like you can't, there's no hope, amen? And I'll just be honest with you, there's probably times when I preach a message where I don't get everything to come out right. And you take it as condemnation, and you say, I'm just coming down on you, and you're hopeless. Don't leave a service hopeless. Get the hope. Get back and let's talk about this. Let's contend together and see what God is really saying, amen? Praise the Lord. Well, I guess we're going to the scripture anyway, so let's turn to Romans 8:1. Praise the Lord. Love the book of Romans. Love the book of the Bible, but I love the book of Romans in the Bible. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Romans 8, 1 and 2. You know these scriptures, but we're going anyways. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So if you walk according to the Spirit, there will be, or according to the flesh, there will be condemnation. And again, it's not God putting condemnation on you. God doesn't put condemnation on anybody. God is not trying to beat you down. He is not trying to make you feel worthless. But condemnation will make you feel worthless, and condemnation comes from living a life that is apart from God. And see, this is about being obedient to God. The obedience to God, it's not because God demands your obedience so he will bless you. It's because if you're not obedient, you separate yourself from him. Amen? You know, with our kids, we live very much this way in our household. Your obedience, you have access to everything that we have. But if you start being disobedient, you don't have access to everything we have. You know, there's punishments for that. This is something that's missing a little bit in this world today. Kids need punishment. They need to know that they get bit if they smack a dog. You know what I mean? If you do something that you shouldn't do, if you touch a hot stove, you're going to get burned. They need to know these types of things. The biggest foolishness in the world is that kids don't need any kind of consequences. The kids have to have consequences. If there's no consequences, you have consequences. If you don't live right, and what do you think that is? If you teach a kid no consequence, a life of no consequence, they will never submit to God. Because God's life requires consequence to things. Now, again, it's not because God just wants to punish everybody. We have to get over this idea that God is just looking to punish us. God is not looking to punish us. He's only looking to bless us. And every action that he's ever made from the beginning of time till now tells us that, amen? That God is only trying to bless you. He wants, you know what blessed means? It means blessed. It means good. It means joyful. It means the fullness of God. It means everything that you are after, all the desires, those things. Not necessarily every little, you know, it doesn't mean that, well, I wanted a big gold chain and I didn't get it, so I'm not blessed. That's not what it means, amen? Glory to God. That's superficial. Praise the Lord. But God wants you happy. He wants you full of joy. Look what the fruit of the Spirit is. The fruit of the Spirit is the blessing of the Lord. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness. I can't even say them all because I don't know. But it's in Galatians 5, right? Galatians 5, 20-some verse, 22 up in there. Praise the Lord. Well, you know it. Glory to God. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So even though there's this law of sin and death, what's the law of sin and death? Sin is simply separating yourself from God through your actions. You, not God separates you from him, but you separate yourself. That's what sin is. God never sins. He never puts sin on man. He never causes man to sin. He never encourages man to sin. Therefore, if you sin, as James says, you are drawn away by your own evil desires and tempted, and you separate yourself from God. It's not that God is separating himself from you. See, this is what everybody, people think that God, because God is just and he is a judge, they think that God is just, as soon as you sin, God, boom, strikes you with whatever the consequence is. It's not how it happens. Sin, the reason God told us not to sin, the reason he told Adam and Eve not to sin, is because sin separates them from God. Amen? It takes them all out of that blessing because light and darkness can't coexist. Amen? How do we know that? Because you turn on the light in the room and the darkness goes away. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. So if you have darkness in your life, praise the Lord, that's what you've turned off the light. Glory to God. Amen. And so these are laws, and the devil uses the fact that these are laws against us. Amen. So there's free from the law of sin and death. But what is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, right? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ is found over in Romans 14. So just go a little bit further. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. This is the law of the Spirit of life. As many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons. Well, how do we know that? Go back up to verse 1 there. It says, There's therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh. That's this. Make all your decisions according to this, but according to the Spirit. Now, you may be sitting here today and saying, I don't even know what you're talking about with the Spirit. And that's a possibility. You may not know what we're talking about the Spirit. That's what church is for. That's what the gathering of the saints is for, to bring us together and to teach us about how to live a spiritual life, because we know all about the flesh life, but we're not taught naturally about the spirit life. Why is that? Because the world has gotten so far away from it. That's what sin does. So this law is to be led by the Spirit of God. The sons of God are those who are led by the Spirit of God. Amen? And this is what he wants to do. He wants to lead us. He wants to guide us. But being led requires obedience. You have to be willing to go because God will not afford. See, this is actually, if you think about it, we hear that word obedience. Again, it seems like a harsh word, but really it's one of the most freeing words it is. Because when it says you need to be obedient, what he's saying is Your choice needs to be right. So make the right choice. It's your choice. Your choice to be obedient or disobedient. So it's your choice to choose good or your choice to choose bad. Right? Now we're accustomed around here to John 8, 31 and 32. Just bring it up here. Write it down if you want to look at it later. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But notice it's the abiding that does it. The abiding means to live in. It needs to be part of your life. It can't be a Sunday only thing. It can't be a Sunday and Tuesday only thing. Actually, the most direction you'll get from God is after you've submitted to the plan of God, in the sense of you go to church and you listen to the word and stuff like that. And then you go out in your own life and you build a relationship with God. You can't build a relationship with God just coming to church. You can't do it. Right? I mean, like how many out of all the people, think about this, all the people in here, now you all have some sort of relationship with me. Some of you know that some of you in here have know me better, right? And I know them better. Why is that? It's all because of the interaction between the two. The amount of interaction determines the amount of the relationship or the amount of knowledge of the other person. And that's really what a relationship is. When I say relationship, I don't just mean we like this person or more or anything like that. A relationship is simply the knowledge you have of another person. My wife and I have a phenomenal relationship. We don't know anybody any better than the two of us know each other. Amen. You know what I'm saying? And that's on many levels. But that's all of that is included in making, you guys can't all have the same relationship that with us that we do with each other. Amen. Glory to God. That would be weird. A different kind of, there's other churches that might accept that kind of stuff, but not here. Praise the Lord. And so, but the relationship is simply the knowledge you have of another person. Amen. And so it works the same way with God. What kind of relationship you want with God? It's all determined by the amount you want to spend time with him. If you want to just know God, he's just like, I'm good at just going to church on Sunday. I don't want anything else. But then that's the level of God you're going to have. Like in his blessing, like the blessing that my wife has for me and the blessing that I have for her is offered to no other person. The relationship we have, it's so close and it's so bonded and it's so great, but it's offered to no other person. It's just between us. It's not offered to anyone else. God offers his relationship with everyone. But it's all determined by the amount that you want to have that relationship. The amount that you want to know God, he will reveal himself to you fully. You know, there's been many times that, people have said things like, some things we just won't know here or something like that. I don't believe that's true. I believe that if there's anything that we desire to know enough, that God will not withhold it from us. Now, when it pertains to somebody else's life, if we were looking into somebody else's life and wondering why something happened to them, that he may, because that's also personal between him and them. Those kinds of things happen a lot too. But I believe just in general that God will not leave us answerless on anything. Anything. If there's anything you want to know, and I don't even think that it's a matter of taking years and years to figure out what it is. Amen? That's really, God, he's that open. He's been that open with me. I seek him for things and he tells me. I seek him for answers and he gives them to me. Now, you might not like the answers he gives to me, but it doesn't matter. Those are the answers I've sought and that's what he's given to me and it satisfied me. Amen? Praise the Lord. Sometimes I sit here and wonder, why don't I seek God? Like, why don't I spend I'm talking about me. Like, I'm sitting here preaching this to you. But really, I think Brother Hagin said that every minister, one of the greatest things that every minister struggles with is doing, 80% of what he preaches, or something like that. I'm totally hacking that up, but that's the truth. It's easy to preach something under the anointing. It's a whole other thing to do it. I'm not perfect in walking the faith life out. I mean, I'm better than some, glory to God, and I'm striving to be better than most, and I'm definitely striving to be better than I am, but I'm not perfect at it either. I just said to my wife about a specific thing that we were dealing with. I said, I think we need to seek the Lord more on this. We need to get God's answer more on this, just one thing. Because sometimes that's just what it is. You just, it's like what the amount of time you want to spend with him, amen? Praise the Lord. If you're going through opposition, It is your obligation to find out the truth. Praise the Lord. If you're having any kind of opposition in your life, it's your obligation. It's not my obligation for you. It's not your neighbor's obligation. It's your obligation to find out the truth. The truth of the situation, the truth of what God says about it, all these things. Refusal to find the truth is refusal of the truth. Let me say that again. Refusal to find the truth is refusal of the truth. If you refuse to say, like, you know, my life's just in shambles, it's just in a wreck, but I'm just not gonna try to figure out why. That's the same as saying I don't want to know why. It's the same thing. Amen. There is no freedom. Listen to me. There is no freedom without submission to the Word of God. There is no freedom without submission. You cannot, being disobedient to the Word of God, you cannot have freedom in your life. It won't happen. The two just, it's like oil and water. It pushes them apart. Amen? Praise the Lord. So I know what you're all saying. How do we walk according to the Spirit? Because that's what we said, right? The key to the law of the Spirit of life is to walk according to the Spirit. How do we do that? Praise the Lord. We do that by faith in the truth of God's Word. When we build the faith of the truth in God's Word, we will learn to walk in the Spirit. We can't learn any other way. In Hebrews 11:1, we all know that scripture. You know, it tells us what faith is, praise the Lord. But in the amplified part of it says, the conviction of their reality. So that's what it is, the faith in the truth of God's Word, the conviction of the reality. Conviction in your heart that just says, that's truth. And people wonder, like, well, how do I just get there? You get there, first of all, by just believing it. But I don't just believe it. Well, you have to understand that if you want what God has, you have to trust Him in what He's giving, in the way that He's given it. God didn't give it any other way. Amen? You know, there's a lot of people that say all religions are the same, or any religion, blah, blah, blah. You can't get there any other way. There's only one religion that's truth, right? They can't all be the truth. Just by the very nature of what they all claim, they cannot all be truth. And if they are all truth, then they're all a lie, because it's all, they all go against each other. They can't all be truth. So there is truth to be known, amen? Turn with me to John 6:63. Praise God, hallelujah. Praise God, hallelujah. We want the truth abiding in us. John 6:63 and 64, Jesus says, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. Glory to God. But it goes on to say in verse 64, but there are some of you who do not believe. Jesus contended with the same thing. See, it's the word that's preached. I didn't have this in my notes, but I do want to go here. It was in my heart this morning. I didn't know if I would include it in there or not, but I'm gonna. Let's see here. Where do we want to go? Praise the Lord. We're going to Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4. And go to verse 19. Now, this is also scriptures we'll know, but it was on my heart to speak it accordingly. So Proverbs 4, verse 19. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. If you don't know what's making you stumble, you're wicked. If you don't understand, you remember what I said to you. I said that it's your obligation to know, right? The truth. The Bible says the way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. If you see, people think wicked has got to be something like, they think wicked's got to be like, you know, the wicked witch. It's evil. It does all these horrible things. That's not what the Bible defines wickedness as. Wickedness is really a separation from God. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. And then he goes on, verse 20. Praise the Lord. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ears to my, or your ear to my sayings. Go ahead, keep going. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. It's talking about the words of the Lord, the words of the law. Verse 22. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. So the word of God is life and it's health. It's life and it's health. But it says, don't let them depart from your eyes. Don't let them depart out of your heart. Keep going. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Out of what spring the issues of life? Your heart. How do you keep your heart with all diligence? By what it said there previously. By inclining your, listening to the sayings of the Lord, reading the word, getting them into your heart, driving them into you, going back over and over and over again. What did Jesus say? He said, the words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. If you are to walk in the spirit and you are to walk in life, the only way you're going to do it is by the word of God, by filling yourself with the word of God. You know what? You know how this works? And that we've seen this to a level, and this isn't because of us, this is again just because this is just being a Christian. This is what being a Christian should be, amen? But as you walk through life, as you go through life, you're going on and just things pop up, things arise, things you don't know. All of a sudden, something's there. You didn't know how you got there, but something's there and it's in your way. All of a sudden, the Lord will speak on the inside of you. There'll be a scripture that'll come up, or there'll be knowledge based on the scripture that comes up. And you'll just say, and you'll do this or you'll do that, and the situation is averted. The situation is taken care of, and it's all because you had your heart right. And having your heart right doesn't mean a heart perfect in the sense that you have to cross every T and dot every I, praise the Lord, but it means that you just have a heart towards God, that you continually seek him, that you're continually in that place, that you abide in his truth. Amen? Because if you abide in his truth, you're just like, well, I don't want to sit reading the word. It's not about sitting reading the word all the time. It's about abiding in the spirit. See, when you put this into you, the spirit, it's spiritual, and something happens on the inside. And I tell you the truth, I can't even explain it to you. I don't know why it happens, how it happens. I don't even know what it does, but I just know that it does. And as you do, and it does, you are able to come up out of things and rise up out of things and conquer things that you never could before. This is where the victory of Christ truly is. It's in his word, amen? For out of it spring the issues of life. Praise the Lord. Yeah, that's as far as I wanted to go there. Okay, praise the Lord. Glory to God. So all the issues of life, every issue of life comes from keeping your heart right. Keep your heart with all diligence. Keep those things that are feeding your heart with all diligence. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's see. We have a few minutes left. Isaiah, turn with me to Isaiah 14, or 1, sorry, Isaiah 1. I also love the book of Isaiah. Man, it's such an awesome, it's Old Testament, but it's so good. Not that Old Testament is bad, but you know, like a lot of people, I don't know why people still have this thing. You know, the Old Testament has not, like, passed away. It doesn't not apply to us anymore. The New Testament just explains, lets us understand the Old Testament. So now that you understand the Old Testament, or now that you have the ability to understand the Old Testament, it only does you good to go back and see what it actually said. Because the reason a lot of people miss part of God's will is because they reject that part of Scripture. The Bible says, I've given you the whole counsel of God. Amen. Glory to God. And all scripture is good and profitable. Amen. Isaiah 1:14. See, if you just try to understand the Old Testament without understanding the New Testament, though, you won't. It'll be good. And that's what all these people that are out there, you see people on the news, oh, well, the Old Testament, you know, and God was genocidal and God was, you know, a God of slavery and all this. None of that is true. So you have to go to the New Testament to understand any of that. All the falsities that these people are speaking. And why would you listen to anyone anyways who has absolutely zero authority in any of it? You know what I mean? People listen to all the time when people have no authority. It's goofy, but people do it. Okay, Isaiah 1:14. your new moons and appointed feasts my soul hates. This is God speaking to them. What does that mean? Their new moons were their festivals and the different things they were doing. Their feasts were their different traditional things that they did. Okay, so we're seeing this. He says, my soul hates these things. In other words, his mind hates him. He can't stand to even think about it. They are a trouble to me. Look at this. God's saying this. Your traditions are a trouble to me. I'm weary of bearing them. They thought they were doing it for God. Yeah. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. Put away from you, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do good. Seek justice, rebuke the oppressor, defend the fatherless, plead for the widow. Praise the Lord. So what God's saying is that your religiousness is not what I'm after. You know, there's so many denominations that they're just caught up in this. And it's not because they're bad people, because they just don't know the truth on it. They're caught up in this. We do our traditions. We do things the way that we do. And God says, I hate all that garbage. Stop doing it. That's not what I'm looking for. You know, and then he says, you know, we see this when we break down these scriptures. Rebuke the oppressor. Defend the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Seek justice. You know, God's telling us to be of a pure heart and to do the things that he has actually called us to do. And then he says in verse 18, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword. Folks, that's an absolute truth. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. If you're not eating the good of the land, check up on your willingness and your obedience. Amen. See, this is the truth. This is what I know. This is the word of the Lord. This is God. This is quotations of God Almighty himself. Amen. We talk about red letters. Here's a black letter. It's quotation of the Lord himself. Amen. God's desire is to bless you. His desire is to help you. So there is no more excuse. We must learn to know God. If we don't learn to know God, you have no excuse. You cannot sit there and say, well, I've been caught up in this sin. I've been caught up in this sin. No, you have chosen that because you have chosen not to know God. Learn his ways. Learn what God wants you to do. Build a relationship with him. And guess what? Things will change. And when you build a relationship with God, you'll start being able to live right the way that he wants you to. You will be willing and obedient, and then you will eat the good of the land. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, and I know in there, there's some symbology and some things that maybe we all understand on the surface. But what we can understand on the surface is where he says, come now and let us reason together. God wants you. He wants you to converse with him. Have you asked God anything? I mean, do you go before the Lord? I mean, not asking him for things, but ask God. Lord, you know, what about this in my life? Is this right? Is this good? Is this acceptable to you? I mean, ask him. I don't mean thought about it. I don't mean like, you know, you had thoughts. I wonder if what I'm doing is, you know. No, if you ask God, God, is this joyful for you? These things that I'm doing, these things that I think that I'm doing for your kingdom, are these joyful for you? All these religious things that I've been doing, the way I've been coming to church, the way I've been serving you, is it cause joy to you, or does it cause your head to be troubled? He said that there, his head gets troubled. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. See, God will speak to you. He'll open up pathways, and he will open up understanding for you if you'll truly seek him. But it's really that simple. I dare say that most of the prayer that we should be doing is seeking God. Prayer doesn't have to be something that is so hard or something that we have to understand. You have to do this step and this step and this step in order to get there. That's not what prayer is. If that's the way prayer was for God, he would have told us that. But he didn't tell us that. He wants you to come and converse with him. He wants you to have a relationship with him. He wants to hear your voice, and he wants you to hear his. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, people think we're nuts and we're crazy. I'm also happy. Glory to God. I'm also blessed. I may be nuts and crazy, but I'm blessed and happy too. So glory to God. I'd rather be nuts and crazy and blessed and happy than sane and whatever and miserable, you know? Amen. Glory to God. A lot of the world, you know, all these people in the world, they're like, you see talk show hosts and stuff like that, and they'll make fun of Christians for, they make fun of this new Supreme Court justice. One of the things they can't stand about her is that suppose that she speaks in other tongues. Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. I'm glad she speaks in other tongues. That's got to be a first for the Supreme Court. Praise the Lord. And you might not like that. And if you don't like that, well, you need to get a heart check, because that's about as close to God as you can get, man. Hallelujah. I love that. I love that she speaks in other tongues, and I love that they put her there. Hallelujah. Don't say my prayers don't work. I've been praying for God to fill those positions with mighty men and women of God. Amen. I don't care if it's man or woman. Just make them good. Amen. Make them of God. I don't care who it is. Praise the Lord. I don't care if they're black, white, orange, green. I don't care. Praise the Lord. Bring an alien in. Whatever it takes. I don't care. Put Bigfoot up there. Praise the Lord. We're going to close at Hebrews 3:10. Praise God. Hallelujah. We just want it right. Oh, it's taking me so long to get to the different places. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 3:10. Therefore, I was angry with that generation, said they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. God would not be angry with somebody for not knowing something if they had no capacity to know it. The reason this scripture is so important to us even this morning is because we need to know God's ways. That should be the desire of our heart, the call of our heart. Let's know God's ways. It's not just about, it's not even about, like, you might not even like what you think is my opinion, and that's fine. Just know God's ways. Praise the Lord. God, the wonderful thing about God, knowing God and knowing God's ways, is even if people disagree on logistical things, the one thing that we can always agree on is God's ways, which are always higher than our own. And if we agree on God's ways, then we're set. Amen. You notice that all the bickering and all the fighting out there in the world today, it doesn't come because people are coming together under God. It comes because they are disagreeing with each other. Listen, you're going to think certain things based on your background. And I'm not going to understand everything about your life based on my background. If there's anything I've understood, it's that. One of the things is with all this race stuff that's going on right now. One of the things that I've learned, and I didn't think this way before, but one of the things that I've learned as a matter of a fact is that when enough people promote fear and it gets out there, there's a temptation to be tempted by it. And one thing that I know, that if you're a person that is black, a person of color, however you want to say it, if you're a person who lives that way, there's a temptation to be afraid. And that temptation is very real, because the media is portraying stuff mostly that isn't true, but they're portraying it anyways. They're causing fear to be out there, and people are living accordingly. And so they have to deal with that fear. Now, when you have to deal with all the other things you deal with in life, to throw fear on top of it, it certainly doesn't help things. But then on the other side, you have all the other people who are being victims of this stuff, being victims of the outlash of this fear. And it's all because people don't know God. You see, in the sides, you're never going to fully balance those sides until you get both of those sides to think right about the same thing, and that's God. When we look to God, He washes away all that stuff, because you know what? I can't stay angry with my wife when I start thinking about being obedient to God. When my wife and I are in a disagreement, when we're having some of that intense fellowship, praise the Lord, when we're having some of those times where things aren't perfect, do you know one of the things that always calls to me? And I just want, in my flesh, I want to shun it, but I always hear, start here, your prayers are going to be hindered. See, because if we're fighting, our prayers don't work. The Bible tells us that. Husbands and wives, you're fighting, prayers don't work. If you're not in agreement and you're at odds, and I don't mean just you disagree, but you're at odds, so you're bumping heads. The things that you're believing for or trusting God for, you've just put handcuffs on God, and it won't work. Amen? And so when we're in disagreement, it doesn't work. So what we have to do is what calls out to my spirit all the time And then it starts working on me. It starts working. It always takes a few minutes, but it starts working on me. Oh, you got to get right. You've got to make it right. But she, no, you got to make it right. Why? Because God doesn't care about who was wrong. That doesn't matter to God. Jesus went to the cross being completely sinless. He went to the cross being completely right, but he did it anyways. Praise the Lord. It doesn't matter if you're right or wrong. The only thing that matters is if you're right or wrong to God. Yeah. Amen? So you're not, it doesn't have to be right or wrong in your opinion. Now, you can't use God against your spouse either. Say, God wouldn't want you to, you know, you can't be doing that either, because that doesn't even go over well. Praise the Lord. We tried that. Glory to God. And it doesn't work. Praise God. Hallelujah. Know God's ways. God's ways are mercy. God's ways are love. God's ways are knowing him. Amen. God's ways are his word. So let's get full of his word. Be obedient to Christ and watch our lives just flourish. And I know many of our lives already have flourished, and they're going to continue to flourish. Amen.